Once again, this morning, we've included some teaching notes in the bulletin, and I would invite you to follow along as we go through this message together. And I want to start out by asking you a question. What subject are you an expert on? Think of all the things that you know something about. Maybe something you studied in school, or a hobby that you have, or something you do for your job. In what area of life or knowledge would you consider yourself an expert? If your friends had a question and they needed somebody to answer it for them, what's the thing that they would come to you and you would have the answers? Well, I was the first of 12 grandchildren on my mother's side, and I named my grandmother Nina. And my Nina was an expert in baking. I have such wonderful memories from childhood of walking into her kitchen and smelling the aroma of fresh baked bread or rolls or sticky buns, molasses cookies, sugar cookies, many different kinds of pie. And every year on Fasnacht Day, she would make donuts, the old-fashioned kind with real lard. And she made everything from scratch, nothing low-calorie, nothing low-fat. Now, I know that Nina had a cookbook because my sister has a copy of it, but I don't think she ever used the cookbook. She just whipped stuff up, put it in the oven, brought it out, and my mouth is watering just thinking about it. Delicious. I wonder, what are you an expert on? What is it that you know a lot about? Well, the reason I bring this up this morning is that in this message today, we're going to focus on what God is an expert on, what God knows. And we're going to find out some really interesting things about the nature of God, and we're going to do that by looking at this great Psalm 139. So, all of the things that David says about God in this psalm, we can wrap around in this one core idea. God pursues us. God pursues us. God uses all that he knows. God uses all of his power to pursue you, to pursue me. Now, I think this is an important thing for us to grasp because we talk a lot about the things that we do to pursue God. But before we can ever pursue God, God has already been coming after us. God is Jehovah Shema. That's what Ezekiel the prophet tells us at the very last verse of the book of Ezekiel. In chapter 48, verse 35, he envisions this great city, and the name of the city is "The Lord is There." And what he's talking about is the coming of God's kingdom into this world and the truth that everywhere God is there. Jehovah Shema. In Psalm 139, we see, first of all, that because God is there, God knows the real you and loves you anyway. God knows the real you, and yet he still loves you. You know, God knows you better than your spouse does, better than your parents do, better than your best of best friends do. God knows you even better than you know yourself. Just look at the first stanza of Psalm 139, the Psalm of David. Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my traveling and resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all my ways. There isn't a word on my tongue, Lord, that you don't already know completely. You surround me front and back. You put your hand on me. That kind of knowledge is too much for me. It's so high above me that I can't reach it. David says, God knows everything about you. God knows where you're going and how you're going to get there. God knows what you're going to say even before you say it. God knows what's in front of you in the future. God knows what's behind you in the past. Nobody knows you better than God does. Now, on the one hand, thinking that God knows you, the real you, it's kind of unsettling. I mean, God even knows that part of you that maybe you're hiding from everybody else. And maybe we're afraid that if others knew that part of us, the way that God knows that part of us, it would certainly change how they feel. But here's the thing, the amazing thing. God knows you so well, but he still loves you. Loves you so much that he never stops pursuing you. Just think about David. David did some really, really terrible things. He committed adultery with his neighbor's wife, and then when she was with child, to cover it up, he had her husband killed. God knew every sordid detail of David's life. The consequences of David's actions were enormous, but God never gave up on David. God knew everything about David, and yet God kept chasing after him. Chasing after him until David repented of his sin, was forgiven, restored. As we read this psalm, David is overwhelmed by God's forgiving love. That kind of knowledge is too much for me, he cries. It's so high above me that I can't reach it. The Apostle John, near the end of our New Testament, is saying something like this in 1 John chapter 4. And I'd like if we could read these words together. This is love. It's not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the sacrifice that deals with our sins. Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there at the cross. His blood poured out for the forgiveness of your sins and mine. God knows the real you. And yet God loves you. David says a second thing about God here. David says God is closer than you think. God is closer than you think. You know, often when people think of God, they picture this great being up in heaven, maybe sitting on a throne, far removed from all the stuff that goes on down here. But David says, God is not just in heaven, God is everywhere. God not only knows everything about us, but God is always around us. God is even closer than we know. Let's pick it up at verse 7. Where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I went down to the grave, you would be there too. If I could fly on the wings of dawn, stopping to rest only on the far side of the ocean, even there your hand would guide me. Even there your strong hand would hold me tight. If I said, the darkness will definitely hide me, the light will become night around me, even then the darkness isn't too dark for you. Nighttime would shine bright as day because darkness is the same as light to you. God is always around you. No matter where you go, even in those places where it might seem to you that God is absent, God is there, David tells us. Max Lucado, the Christian writer, says it this way: you can never go where God is not. Now, that's a wonderful thought on the one hand, but on the other hand, even David alludes to those times in his life when perhaps he was running away, trying to hide from God. Look, I've tried to run from you, David says, but I can't. Even if I tried to shut off the sun and hide in the darkness, God, you're still there. We can be so filled with guilt and shame that we want to run away from God's presence. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. It says that Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. And what did they do? They hid from God because they were ashamed. But God was there too. We might want to run from God, but God's not going to let us go. God keeps pursuing us. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Really, I would encourage you to embrace this reality as a good thing. Because God is there to strengthen you. God is there to support you. Meaning that whenever we struggle, whenever we're in a rough spot, God is there to help us, to take care of us, to show us the way forward. God is there in school and on the practice field. God is there at work, in the neighborhood, in the doctor's office. God is with you in those hard conversations. Even in moments when you feel the lowest, God is still there. And He's there. He's there to support you, to forgive you, to encourage you, to love you, to show you the way forward. God knows the real you and yet keeps pursuing you. And God is closer to you than you think because of who God is. And then David says, God has always been at work in your life. God has always been at work in your life. Maybe if you're like me, you can't remember a time in your life when you were not in some way aware of God's presence. You grew up in church, you had Christian parents, perhaps. You've always known Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Or maybe you've just recently started being aware of God in your life. And this whole thing is new to you. Well, David reminds us that whether we have been aware of God our whole life long, or it's only recently that we've been coming to know God, God has always been there for us, always at work in your life. Let's pick it up in verse 13. God, you are the one who created my innermost parts. You knit me together while I was still in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you that I was marvelously set apart. Your works are wonderful. I know that very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was being put together in a secret place, when I was being woven together in the deep parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my embryo, and on your scroll, every day was written that was being formed for me before any one of them had yet happened. When did God begin to pursue you? When did God begin to assemble the plans he had for your life? Well, David says, even from the moment of conception, God was at work in my life. And this has some wonderful implications as we think about life and as we think about what it means to be a human. This psalm says a lot of things that we could continue to study about the nature of who God is and how God is present in our lives always before we are even aware of it. But for now, I want you to think about the fact that God has always been involved in your life. From the very beginning, God has a plan for you. God looks at your life, whatever season you are in right now, and God has a purpose for it. God wants to use you. God wants to accomplish great things through your life. God wants you to make an impact for Him in the lives of the people that God brings into your life. What a wonderful thing. God loves you so much that He put you here on earth for a purpose. You know, you were created by God not just to sort of randomly experience life. You were created, David tells us, to enjoy and manifest Jehovah Shammah. Let's look at these next two verses. God, your plans are incomprehensible to me. Their total number is countless. If I tried to count them, they outnumber grains of sand. If I came to the very end, I'd still be with you. I want to ask you this morning, how do you see God at work in your life right now? If it's true that God has been there in your life before it ever began, that means that God has always been at work even up to this present moment. God didn't just knit you together in your mother's womb and say, good luck figuring it out by yourself. God has always been at work because God has a purpose for you. That's what I see when I look at my life. As I look back at my life, even though most of the time I was not aware of it when it was happening, God has been pursuing me. I think about people that have poured themselves into my life. People that have shown me what it's like to follow Jesus. I think about people that have shown me by their example what it means to be a godly husband, a godly father, a godly grandfather. I think about people that have helped me to hear God's call, to discover God's gifts. People that have shown me how to love and serve others by their example. People that have helped me to learn how to be gentle, how to be kind, how to have compassion for others. Now, I am certain that as you look back across your life, no matter how old or young you are, that you will realize it too. That God has gifted you with people that have poured themselves into your life and helped you to become the person that you are. What I'm saying is that your life is not some accident that happened. God is Jehovah Shema. The Lord is there. And God has created you to enjoy a relationship with Him. And not only that, but God has created you so that you might join with people like David long ago to declare the wonderful works of God to the people around you. In joy and in sorrow, whatever your circumstances might be, Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. He knows. He knows the real you. And He still loves you. He's close. He's closer to you even than the air that you breathe. He's at work. He's always been at work in your life. Jehovah Shema, may you, like David, enjoy His presence and declare His wonderful works. In just a moment, the choir is going to sing a great hymn. And it's a hymn that reminds us of the amazing love of God for you and for me. And as they sing this anthem and as we move into a time of prayer, let it be a time for you and God just to enjoy being together so that God might speak into your life. The Lord is there. Amen.